Okay, let's go ahead and go back to 2 Peter chapter 1. I have been very much looking forward to this. This is absolutely one of my favorite passages in the Bible. There, it is absolutely rich with teaching concerning our Christian walk. We'll go ahead and begin at verse 2. Of 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, and then we will get into the study of the first word. Peter writes, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God." By the way, just, you know, as you read this passage, let that sink in. How is grace and peace multiplied to us? How? With what? The knowledge of God. You know, and we have the book where that knowledge comes from. And of Jesus, our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and, here's the word we're going to be looking at, but in verse 5, virtue. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Add to your faith virtue. The word add here means to abundantly supply, to give copious measure. There's a man by the name of Stradivarius. In fact, his name is Antonius Stradivarius. His name, his last name, is synonymous with the violin, fine violins. Now, you can see them all over the board. When we were in the Philippines, the children there in, what was the name? Ilagan. The children there were playing $20 violins from China. By the way, I just mentioned the Philippines. I've got to mention this. I should have mentioned this during the announcements. I just got a text from our old friend, Mel Brown. Mel and Carol Brown were our missionaries to the Philippines. Carol Brown has since gone to be with the Lord. Mel Brown is still one of my favorites. He's a great guy. And I know he has been back, even at his age. He has somebody go with him, but he has gone back and forth to the Philippines. If I remember correctly, I believe he's 78. He's supposed to be there till January 15th, but he's talking like he's just going to stay. I think he wants to die there. Loves the Philippines. So he said, "Hey, you got any support for an old missionary?" I said, "Brother, I will talk to the church. We'll give it a shot. I'd love to take an offering and give it to him." That man has done so much there. There in Quezon City with La Loma Baptist and other places. It just, love it. But anyway, excuse me, speaking of the smoke, this is what he observed. This is what he observed. He said, quote, "God needs violins to send his music into the world. And if any violins are defective, God's music will be spoiled." His work philosophy was summed up in one sentence. "Other men will make other violins, but no man shall make a better one." This is what we're looking at when we're speaking of virtue. See, you start out in faith, believing. But here's the challenge, and here's the opportunity, I really should say. Faith is not meant to be dormant. Faith was never meant to be static. Faith has always been meant to grow, to mature, to expand, to be stronger. So when we see in the Bible people like, people like in Hebrews chapter 11, you're looking at lives literally where faith, they went from faith to faith, as the Bible says. So he says here, and beside this, literally for this very reason, the very reason we come to this point in our lives, giving all diligence. That means we're going to exert ourselves. Now, do you understand that? When we get saved, we don't just kick back and we're heading for heaven. Now we have mechanisms, as it were, in our lives to help us grow. And we have a faith that needs to grow. So he says, look, this is what you do. You take these mechanisms that God gives you. You take this faith and you exercise it. How many of you like exercise? How many of you don't like exercise? Okay, very good. The older you get, the more it just kind of, I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, with this, sometimes we just don't like it exercising this ourselves. Because faith takes faith. All of a sudden, you have made yourself vulnerable, and the what ifs and the if only is good. We're great at saying that. But then we've got to live it out, and that is what faith is. So he says this, giving all diligence, make haste to do this, exert yourself, add to your faith virtue. Add to your faith virtue. Faith is your possession in Christ. Now, each of these graces will be the stepping stone to the next and complete the previous one. So this is where we're headed right now. What we're looking at is, okay, out in faith, what I'm going to see begin to work in my life is something that brings me to excellencies, not sinless perfection, but excellencies. Because see, that's what that word means. Virtue means excellence. The Greek word for this word virtue occurs five times in the New Testament. Five times. But three of those five times are in this chapter. Right here where we're at. Look again at verse 3. According to his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. You remember in Philippians chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, let your conscience, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made to God. And the peace of God which passeth all shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, any, think on these things. What's an example we can use here? Here's a good one. A knife has excellence or virtue if it can cut. And it might have an elegant handle, but if it can't cut, then it's useless for what it was created for. A soldier, he can have everything that he needs. He can be well outfitted, well trained, and well strengthened. But the problem is, if he runs into battle, guess what? He's not showing himself to be brave or courageous. He is not excellent. He's not excellent. I've got some other things to go. The Lord addressed us showing the excellency of God's work in our lives, in us. Matthew 5:16. Remember the Lord said this, "Let your light so shine before men." Your light so shine before men. Why? That they may see your good works. They may see your excellency. See God in works. And what is the response? And glorify your God, excuse me, your Father, which is in heaven. The excellencies that come out in a life because of the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, joy, peace, long suffering. Out like a soldier who has become well outfitted, well trained, and well strengthened. But if we do not use what we have, sees that have come out or should be shown in us. Listen, something is excellent if it fulfills its purpose as spelled out in its purpose statement. Now we have today, we have mission statements, we've got, you know, people come out with all kinds of things along that line. We put together one when we first got here to the church, seeking to win the lost, teaching to change lives, equipping the saints for service, pressing for the prize. Peter gives us our mission statement. Go back, if you would, to 1 Peter. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Excuse me. 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye, as for you, is what that means. You know, there's other people, but as for you, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises. You see that word praises there? It's the same Greek word that is translated virtues in 2 Peter chapter 1. Show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are showing the excellencies of the Lord by how we live. Peter here describes two basic facts. What God has done to us and what God has done through us. I think I just left something out. Yes, I should have brought this out. The praises of him, same word for virtues, we're to be showing the excellencies of the Lord by how we live. Forgive me, I'm trying to read that and this at the same time. Our God is excellent in all that he does. Now follow that. Our God is excellent in all that he does. Our God comes out with an A++ on being God. What he is seeking to do is work in us so that we come out, as it were, with the A+, being a child of God, because Christ lives in us. God came along in creation, in his rule over all, in his redemption of mankind, everything. Remember in Genesis chapter 1, it says he created the light, and it was what? What's the four-letter word after that? It was good. It was excellent. It had virtue. In other words, it could not be made better. It could not be adjusted better. So he has done stuff. First of all, I want you to see, I am messing up. Yes, Peter here describes two basic facts. I was trying to put too many notes in here. Forgive me. What God has done to us by his Son, what God desires to do through us by his Spirit. So, first of all, what he has done to us. Take this down. We are a new creation. But ye are a chosen generation. The phrase, the term chosen generation has to do with the truth, the glorious truth that God reached into the masses of mankind and chose a people for himself. That word generation doesn't mean a group of people living at a particular time. It means a race, a body with a common life and descent. See, when the Lord called Abraham, the Hebrew race was created. So there is now a generation. Listen to this, 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. That's why the world doesn't understand us. I mean, you know, we can sing that song, "This World Is Not My Home," but the fact of the matter is, it's true. We are no longer part of this world. Who runs this present world system? Satan does. That's why there will never be a time, as long as the Lord leaves us here, there will never be a time where we can negotiate a truce, boy, I'm telling you, a truce with the wicked one. We either surrender as the children of God to him, or we're at war. Americans have been spoiled because we have had so much of biblical value and truth in this nation because of our Constitution, because of the preaching, the religious freedom, all of that. But it's beginning to dwindle. And now, because of that, we're facing the same things that other people around the world are facing. It's starting much more here. We are a chosen generation. We're different. Not only that, there's another reason why Satan hates us. We're not only a new creation, we have a new communion. We're a royal priesthood. Now catch this. When we were lost, we were totally separated from God. We know that. But now, according to the book of Ephesians, we have drawn nigh to God by the blood of Christ. And this new, in this new relationship, we have an unrestricted access, an unhindered access to the presence of God. You know the verse well, 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So you stop and think, our prayer life, what can we do? Hey, we can come boldly, according to the book of Hebrews, we can come boldly to the throne of grace to find grace to help in time of need. Satan knows this. Part of the reason why we can do this, there is something new that is given to us. See the word royal? It's the same word that translates king in the Greek. We're not just children that are lifted a little bit higher. We are brethren with Christ, who, by the way, rules. We are king priests. The Levitical priesthood in the Old Testament, that's what they were. They were priests. But now we reign. Do you understand? You get that? Boy, now my throat's starting to go. So stop and think about that. I mean, in this kind of a situation, Satan is at war. Listen to this. In a manner of speaking, not that we became God, but we reign with Christ. We have something that he desired. Now, he wanted to be God, period. We're reigning with Christ, the Son of God. He hates what we have. Now, please do not misunderstand me. I am not saying that we became God. Jesus is King. Amen? And we reign with Him. Therefore, we are a royal priesthood. But we also have this. We have a new character. Peter goes on to say that we are a holy nation. The word nation there is the translation of the Greek word that means a multitude of people of the same nature. A multitude of people of the same nature. Through Jesus Christ, God has produced a change in us that now allows us to be what we never could have been before. Holy. Holy. Think of that. When a person is saved, a person is given a new nature. We read that in verse 4 of this chapter, 2 Peter 1. Paul told the church at Corinth, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ," this is 2 Peter 5:17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." We have the capacity now. Remember what we were talking about this morning? We have the capacity now to have the Holy Spirit here. We're made holy. Now, do we still sin? Yes, we've got a flesh. And praise God, we can confess that sin. But now we are children of God, we are king priests, and we have the Holy Spirit with us, and we are a new creation. Again, this is why Satan hates the church, hates the body of Christ. He failed in Genesis 3. He failed at the cross. He failed to destroy the Jewish nation, and he is failing to destroy the body of Christ, the church. That's why he hates us so. This virtue, this excellence, is what he fights at every end. He fights it because he doesn't want us to be what we have been given the opportunity to be, this excellence. All right? We also have, and you know, we need to, we always make sure we're, he's not using the word like we use it today. We have a new classification. We're a peculiar people. This is interesting. We think of peculiar as somebody that is, well, you know, weird, strange, odd, such like that. The real meaning of the word peculiar speaks of a unique possession, something of rare beauty, a priceless nature. That's what the word peculiar, as was translated here in the King James, means. It literally means to make around, to make something and then surround it with a circle indicating ownership. The same verb is used in the Septuagint translation of Isaiah 43:21, which reads, "This people have I formed myself." The word jewel in Malachi 4:17 means the same thing as the word peculiar. Means that we are a precious people. Do you see? This is us. We didn't earn this. Just like our salvation. We didn't earn our salvation. We didn't earn this classification either. This was given to us. This was given. Let that sink in. Let that sink in. That's what he did to us. Now look what he is seeking to do by his Holy Spirit through us. We are to declare the truth about our Savior, that ye should show forth the praises. Show forth literally means a spoken message. We're to declare to a lost and dying world the excellencies of the Lamb of God, who does the excellencies in us. We are not only to declare, we are to demonstrate. We're to demonstrate the truth about our salvation, of Him that called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Here's something that we need to, we could, it'd be good for us to nail down. How am I a witness? Well, there's two ways. There's a vocal side to our witness. There's also a visible side. And that's what He's talking about here, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. The vocal side and the visible side deal with our walk with the Lord. He says, of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You see that? The into refers not merely to locality. It speaks of a result, that of the saints being participants of the light that God is in His, light that God is in His nature. We are made creatures of light. Therefore, with His work in us and then through us, we become light. That's why, remember what Christ said in the Sermon on the Mount? He did not say, make your light so shine, did He? What did He say? Let. See, we don't make it. It's the very same way if you go to John 15. We don't produce the fruit. We're the vine. Excuse me, Christ is the vine. We're the branches. We bear the fruit. It's the same thing with the light. We don't make our light so shine. We let our light so shine. What light? The light that He is working on in us. That's the key. True human excellence is Christ-likeness. That's what it comes down to. When we add to our faith virtue, we're talking about the excellencies that Christ is seeking not only to do to us, but through us. And again, this is not something that you exert to produce. This is something that you exert to allow to happen. This is what you give yourself to, because He's there. He's there with the tools to produce this. He has chosen us. You are my child. We came to Christ in Him, in Christ. We came to Christ. We are now children of God, and now He has taken us, and without us having to beg Him, He is at work. He has put us in different positions as far as royal, you know, a priesthood, etc. And now this is what He's doing through us. Go to Romans 12. With these things in mind, it helps us understand a verse a little bit easier. We go to this verse so many times, but using what we learned in 1 Peter 2 and 2 Peter 1, let's look at this one more time. Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Okay, we've trusted Christ, Lord, here we are. Now watch. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now catch this. Often we have looked at verse 2 and we have imagined in our minds an exertion, a work, a tiring work, a work that is done by us whereby somehow the light can shine. You go through what we just looked at and we recognize this, that when he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, how does that take place? By the renewing of your mind. The mind is renewed by what we just looked at in 1 Peter. In other words, our thinking changes so that we recognize it's not because of our exertion, but his work that he has done to us and through us. Am I making sense? Because again, our default setting is that when we go to something like this, okay, this is something that I've got to do. All right, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay, so I've got to think this through. I've got to figure out how to work this. No. See, we're talking about walking by faith. So by faith, I recognize what the Lord has done in me. Again, go back to 2 Peter chapter 1 and look at verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 3. According as his divine power hath what? What's the word? Did he give us salvation or did we work for it? He gave it to us. Look what else he gives, see? According he has given, according as his divine power hath given unto us, all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Look, you don't have to sit down. How many of you guys, when you were younger, you got something known as an erector set? Okay, you got one too? You had one? Who else had one? Brad? Okay. I loved an erector set. 57 million pieces of metal that could easily get lost. And it did. But I loved putting stuff together. You know, you're trying to make, you know, they give you a schematic and you can, you know, make this and make that, make a crane and all that stuff. It was, you know, it was a lot of fun. It was great. We don't have to do that. We don't have to put together somehow, read the directions and put together somehow our Christian walk. We just need to learn of him. He is actively, because he loves us so much, he is actively doing this in us right now. And you're not having to give any effort. You're just having to yield and recognize, and trust. That's the faith. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, we have a calling. So when he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, this is that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Does anybody have a question? I know it's Sunday night, but does anybody have a question on this, Brad? No, that's true. That right there. But it's what I mean when I'm talking about living out what we have seen. He has put all that together. Yeah, exactly. See? Yes. So what we have We've got our, let's see, back it up. No, I'm not even going to try. We've got our statement, as it were, of who we are in 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are, remember, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. Now that's the position that he's given us. We did nothing for that. That's where he has placed us. I just got another copy of my DD-214. Dave, you know what that is. You know what that is. You know, military. Congratulate. You know, and you know, I looked at it, and when I came out of the regulars to go into the reserve, I was Airman First Class. Wouldn't it have been great if somebody would have come along and stamped in their Lieutenant Colonel? I can't do that for myself. But you know, somebody else could. That actually happened to a private in Napoleon's army. Napoleon's army bucked, and a man leaped forward, a young man leaped forward and grabbed hold of the horse and brought it down and got it to calm down. And Napoleon said, "Thank you, Captain." He just went up the food chain there, you know. We have been given this, and we didn't do anything for it. We just didn't. But we had this done to us, because there are a couple of things that he wants to do through us. That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. It is a situation where we, with our mouth and our life, our vocal side and visible side, we show forth his praises. That's how we start out. Add to your faith virtue, excellencies, and he does the work as we go to him in prayer, study the word, and yield. We have the changed mind, as he talks about in Romans 12. Amen? Amen. Any other questions? Let's stand for prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to understand this. Thank you for all that you do to us and through us and for us. Lord, I pray that we would meditate on these things. Maybe go back and just read a little bit of what we have seen tonight. May it make a difference in our lives this week for your glory. Bring us back Tuesday night as we bring you the praises of your grace and thanksgiving for what you have done for this nation, as we will be praying for this nation as well. And we pray this in our Savior's name. Amen.